Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to direct your attention to verse number 32. We'll begin reading there. Go through the end of the chapter and a little ways into chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. And what shall I say more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, then the Holy Spirit adds in parentheses, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm not sure if many people have ever really absorbed what verse 40 just said there, but we're going to look at it in just a few minutes. Now let's go into chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet here tonight. Lord, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord, for just all that we've been able to experience, all that we've been able to feel, all of the emotions, Lord, all of the grandeur of this moment. And Lord, I pray that we would embrace every bit of it. We'd soak every bit of it up, that we'd not miss the significance of today. And Lord, we're now going to preach your word. And Holy Spirit, I need your help, please. I need to be a vessel filled, Lord, empty of self and filled with God. And Lord, I need to preach to a people who have ears to hear and a heart willing and wanting to absorb and obey what you tell them to do. And so bless tonight's message, Lord. Bless the service. And thank you for all of the singing, for all of the special music, Lord, for what the choir sang, how they stirred our hearts. Just, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Now bless the time that's remaining. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight, the secret to longevity. The secret to longevity. My favorite people to be around, I mean this with the depth, from the depths of my heart, my favorite people to be around are people that have served God for the long haul. Just serve God for the long haul. I mean, they've been through the valleys, they've been over the mountains, they've been in peacetime, they've been in battle time, they've been without. They've been blessed at times. They've done without. I mean, they've faced the whole scope of everything that you've got to face in the Christian life. And you know what? At the end, they're still plugging along. They're still standing. They're still faithful to God. Now, folks, there's some things that set these type of people apart. The secret tonight is what we're going to look at. The secret to longevity. This is going to sound crazy. I miss Willard Scott. I liked old Willard. I don't know how many of you used to watch Willard Scott on the Today Show. He was the weatherman. One thing I've found out and figured out in my short years is that you have to be a little quirky to be a weatherman. Have you ever noticed that? Noel Willard was an oddball kind of guy, but he was just fun. Every time he'd pop on the screen, I'd smile. And I liked the way he'd done things, and he'd give the weather kind of as an afterthought, but he'd cover everything else in the meantime. And he always liked to brag about people and have their pictures on the TV who have outlived the odds. So-and-so has turned 100. So-and-so is celebrating their 103rd birthday. This couple's been married 75 years. And by the way, I watched carefully. And you folks that think that retiring and going to Florida is good for you should have watched Willard. I've never seen Willard Scott say, this person's 103 years old and they live down in Florida. It was always Minnesota, North Dakota. I mean, it was always the coldest, harshest, meanest states that we have to offer. I guess if they can survive that, they can survive anything, you know. But you ought to think about retiring and moving to Minnesota, amen? And Willard Scott might recognize you. Every time someone breaks the odds, people want to know, what's the secret to your longevity? And Willard would usually include that. Problem is, on Monday, the person would say something that was the reason for them having lived so long. And on Tuesday, the person would say the exact opposite thing, you know. One would say, because I never touched a drop of alcohol. And the next day, someone would say, well, I had a glass of wine every night before I went to bed, you know, since I was 3 or 4 years old, you know. So it never made sense to me, the whole formula. You know what I think? I think all of them just should have said, because of the grace of Almighty God. That's why I'm still here. Secret to longevity. Well, folks have tried to discover that in this so-called fountain of youth. But folks, we all know that the truth of the matter is that we have been given a certain number of days by God Almighty, and we'll live those out. But I love the fact that folks can take the years that God gives them, and they can take those years and put them in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether that's in a full-time capacity because they're called in a specific ministry, or whether they're just faithfully serving in some local church as a layman, you can and should be into this thing for the long term. Amen. And folks, listen to me. That's a little easier said than done. Because the devil's going to come along and give you 1,000 reasons why it's okay to quit somewhere along life's journey. He's going to tempt you 1,000 different times and tell you that it's not worth it. That's why I guess I have such an admiration for those Christians that have served God for the long haul. I like the old evangelists. Crisscrossed this country hundreds of times. Stayed in bleak little motels, stayed in basements of churches and classrooms, slept on the floor of churches, stayed in people's homes, done whatever they've had to do, and just they're still out there. They're still going after it. They've got a secret we better learn. There's something different about them. We better put them under the microscope. We better figure out why they're still doing what they're doing. I like to see pastors that just have hung in there. Our pastor can stand up and say, 36 years in the gospel ministry, folks. It's no fly-by-nighter. This isn't a guy that got into it because it was fun or it was an easy way to make a living. This isn't a guy that bailed out the first time there was a war, and there was many wars and many battles, but he stood the stuff. You see, folks, there's a secret to this thing. The Bible tells us what this secret is. I like being around those kind of people. I like watching those kind of people. I like people in Christ. I like missionaries. You know, it's one thing for a guy to get up, and I'm not God. I don't know. You know what? Folks have to do what God says. But you know, someone comes in and says, well, yeah, I served a term over in this country and then came back. I served 2 terms. Well, I like the guy that just says, you know what? I've been there 40 years, and I'll probably be buried there. You know, just in there for the long haul. They've learned that secret of longevity, you see. I'm hanging in there and staying with the stuff, you know. And folks, I like looking around not only in full-time Christian circles, but I like just looking around the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing lay people that have just stuck in there week in, week out, stayed by the stuff, serve God. 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, sometimes 50 years, serving God, just faithfully, serving the Lord. They put their tithe in the plate all those years. Prayed for their pastor all those years. Showed up to work days like we're going to have. This won't be their first one. This will be their 1,000th one. They're just used to it. They just do it. They're just there. You can just count on them. Grab a hold of a Sunday school class and stay there 25, 30 years. Grab a hold of a bus route and stay there for 25, 30 years. No, not a fly-by-nighter. Let me have a job until I get bored, until something goes wrong or somebody doesn't treat me right, and then I'm just going to go pout in the corner. No, those kind of people don't make a difference for God. It's the ones that serve long-term. It's the ones that stick in there. Grab the bull by the horns and say, you know what? This one thing I do, God's called me to do it, and I'm going to do it, you know. They stay faithful to that, you see. Well, folks, they have a secret. There's some things they've learned through the years. There's some things they've endured. And I think if we're going to stay in the race that's talked about in chapter number 12, we're going to have to learn some things. You see, folks, God has set before each and every one of us a race that we are to run. And what we want to do is we want to be like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that when we get to the end, we can say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, I finished the race God gave me to run. I want to be faithful for the long haul. I want to be faithful. I'm glad that the Lord's given me grace and strength to serve Him till my 43rd year, but I want to be faithful to the long haul. I want to go all the way for God. Every day, every year God gives me, I want to go all the way. I want to finish out my life serving God. Is that what you want? How come so many Christians aren't doing that? Well, I think that there's some that learned some secrets and some that didn't learn them. Because folks, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. To see somebody get a hold of this thing in their younger life and get saved and just go faithful to the end. It's easier said than done. Now let me give you some characteristics of those who finish the race. Characteristics of those that are in for the long haul. You'll see some characteristics in their life. Some secrets that they've discovered. Some attributes that they've grabbed a hold of. And I think we see these dissected and summarized in chapter number 12. Now remember, folks, Hebrews chapter 11 has, well, we didn't read the whole thing, but if we went all the way back to the beginning, it goes all the way back to Abel. All the way back to Abel. And God just kind of picks out men and women to brag on. By the way, one of the things I looked at real quick for the message was I said, you know what? I don't see a one of these that are listed that wasn't in it for the long haul. They were faithful to the end. Well, there were some secrets here. Some things that they learned. Some things that they got. Let me give those to you this evening, all right? Number one, characteristic of those who finish the race. I'm going to give you four quick secrets, four quick attributes of those that experience longevity in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, their ears hear the cheers of those who have finished before them. Did you get that? Their ears hear the cheers of those that have finished before them. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who is he talking about here? Well, he just got through Hebrews chapter 11, going through this great hall of faith. Instead of hall of fame, hall of faith. And these faithful people that have already served God, already lived out their life. Listen, they finished their course. And he talks about how they were up in heaven. And listen, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Do you understand what that means? That means literally, folks, we're all down here on the field. We're down here on the stage of life. And up there in heaven, there's this great cloud of witnesses that have already run the race. They've already finished their course. They've been faithful. They've already given all for God. And they're up there and they're watching us and they're observing us. They are witnesses to the kind of life that we're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. You've got to decide what you're going to listen to and what you're going to hear.
You got to listen. Decide what you're going to hear, what you're going to listen to. And what you listen to and who you listen to will probably determine whether or not you're in it for the short run or the long haul. You see, folks, I can get caught up in listening to the complainers, but I can't hear them because I'm listening to the cheers of those that have gone before. I can get caught up in talking to listening to the people that want to give excuses why they can't serve God. And if you bend your ear down to this earth and begin to listen to those earthly carnal things, you won't make it for the long haul. But if you keep listening, you keep your ears tilted towards heaven. You hear old Brother Paul up there saying, come on, Brother Jerry, preach it, Brother Jerry, preach it. Hey, I was shipwrecked, I was stoned, I was beaten, I went through all that, and I stayed faithful. Hey, you can do it too. Hey, you can do it too. That's what I'm listening to. Listen, some of you in this room have grandmas and grandpas, great-grandmas and great-grandpas, mothers and fathers that are up in heaven. They've run their race. They put their time in. They serve God. They're looking down there saying, hey, sonny boy, don't give up. It's worth it. It all depends on what you want to hear. Folks, there's been a lot of people. Did you get that little portion of scripture we read? You know, you start in chapter 1 and you go on down, and most of these are success stories or seemingly victory stories. But you know what? Not every Christian that was faithful at the end of their life, we could write out and they lived happily ever after. A lot of people that were faithful died horrible deaths. Well, there's not a one of us that probably wouldn't be blessed and helped if we'd go to our library, and most of us probably have it around there somewhere, could get a hold of it pretty easily, and dust off an old copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'll tell you what I did. I got here early this afternoon just a little bit, and I went down to the school, and I grabbed Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I just kind of took it in my office, and I sat there and for about 30 minutes just read two or three different stories. Brother, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Joe, we're a bunch of wimps. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs and come tell me why you got a reason to quit serving God. I mean, go show John Hooper your owie. That great man of God that got into the Word of God and began to study there at Oxford, and all of a sudden he began to discover he got a hold of the Bible for the first time in life. He got a hold of the Bible. All of a sudden he realized, listen, all of my Catholic teachers, all of my Catholic fathers, why aren't they seeing this? They're wrong. And he began to go out and preach salvation by grace through faith and preach against the fallacies of the Catholic Church. And he began to point people directly to Jesus. Hey, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You don't go through some father to get to the Heavenly Father. You go to Jesus. And why isn't everybody saying this? Hey, the indulgences, they're wrong. And all of a sudden he's a heretic. They arrest him, and boy, right there in that book, they chronicle his trial and what he said and what he had. And by the way, they sentenced him to die. Now, folks, listen to me. You read it. Look it up in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read the story of John Hooper. They said, we're going to take a steel ring and we're going to fasten you around the waist and fasten you to that old stake. And then we're going to take two and fasten your hands to it. We're going to fasten your legs to it. And after he put one on, he said, you don't have to fasten my legs. You don't have to fasten my hands and my legs. I'm not going anywhere. He had a dream several days before they arrested him. In this dream, he dreamed that his pillow caught fire in this dream. When he awoke, he startled and jumped up and looked at his pillow, and it wasn't on fire. But the sweet Holy Spirit said, John, you're going to have to die at the stake. You're going to have to die. And he went and began to tell his friends, you know what? I had a dream. God told me I'm going to have to go to the stake. I'm going to have to burn for my faith. So they didn't put the hoops on his hand, they didn't put the hoops on his legs. Now watch this, folks. Let me tell you something. This is ghastly. They put the wood, they called the wood, and I don't mean this wrong, so you don't get the wrong idea, but they call in Fox's Book of Martyrs, when they're talking about the clumps of wood that they use, they call them faggots, and they put the faggots all around up to his knees. And then they put reeds all around that. Reeds from around the pond are all around that. Now watch this. They took a bag of gunpowder and put it here, and a bag of gunpowder and put it here, and a bag of gunpowder and put it between his legs. Then they go over and they light that fire. By the way, a horrible story. Most of the time when they light that fire, the smoke, whether you understand it or not, the smoke would begin to billow so thick because of the reeds that the man would suffocate to death before he really suffered much burning. But on that particular day, the wind was blowing so strongly that it was driving the smoke and driving the heat of the fire away, and it was just causing those faggots to burn and turn into amber coals. And the Bible, the book says that his lower parts burned while his upper parts were not touched. He literally sat there and watched, folks, listen to me, as he's hanging onto this metal ring, he watched from the knees down disintegrate, disappear, and he began to cry out for God to be merciful to him. Finally, the wind blew out the fire. He pled with the men, light the fire again, light the fire again. By the way, before this happened, he was given chance after chance after chance to recant his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he refused to do it. Light the fire again. So they piled up him with it. And finally, it began to burn. And it says that the bag underneath his arm burst. And this bag burst. And the gunpowder fell out on the fire. But the wind was so strong, it blew all the smoke away and blew the explosion away. And still he sat there. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to upset anybody here. But you know what? We need to see something. We need to look at something. We need to realize we got a heritage. We need to realize that there's a bunch of people that paid a great price so that we can have what we have today. He sat there and watched his body burn and watched the smoke go by. And the book begins to tell about how his eyelids melted from off his face. He began to beat his chest with both hands. And I'm sorry if I'm upsetting you, but you know what? Maybe we ought to get upset about some things. Began to beat his chest and beat his chest and call out to God until his right arm fell off of his body. His other arm melted, the skin and the muscle and everything melted, the fat melted right off of it. Are you listening to this? He couldn't talk anymore. He was talking and talking to God and praising God. And finally his tongue swelled to the point where the book said all they could do is his lips kept moving. He was looking to heaven and his lips kept moving. They said during all of this, he was looking towards heaven with an absolute look of utter, complete peace on his face as he talked to God while his body is disintegrated around him. Say, Brother Jerry, what do you hear? I hear John Hooper. I don't know who you're listening to, but I hear John Hooper. I don't know who you're letting bend your ear, but I'm listening to John Hooper. You know what he's saying? Come on, son! Serve God! But it's hard. You don't know hard. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up in the workplace. Stand up in the community. Let people know about Christ. I don't care what it costs you. Stand up for Jesus. Now, folks, listen to me. There's a whole group of witnesses out there that's looking down. And they run the race. And they finish the race. And I often wonder, what do they think about the American Christian? What do they think of us? You see, if you're going to be it for the long term, folks, you better have your ear tuned to the cheers of those that have finished before you. Number two, something else we notice about these people that have finished the race. Notice this, their hands are willing to lay aside weights and overcome besetting sins in order to stay in the race and to continue to serve God. Their hands are willing to lay aside weights and overcome besetting sins. Now let me educate you a little bit and let me teach this properly, and I want you to get the full benefit of this. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now there's two things that are going to hinder you from finishing the race here. One's called a weight and one's called a besetting sin. Listen to me, young person. You better get this. If you're out of the race in 4 or 5 years from now, it'll probably be because there was a weight that you should have laid off that you didn't, or a besetting sin that you can overcome by the grace of God, but you choose not to overcome. Are you listening to me? What is this weight, Pastor Jerry? Well, listen to me. I believe that this weight is not a sin. See, I think there's some things, folks, that we ought to lay aside that's not inherently sinful, but they hinder us from running the race that we're called to run. You know, we live in a society, Brother Matt, that wants to say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. 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 Well, there's nothing wrong. Problem is, you have so many this's that you can't have, you don't have time to run the race that God set before you. You know, you can get involved in a lot of things that aren't sinful, but they keep you from running the race God's called you to run. I'm just going to point out one thing, and I could have picked several people there, but I was struck by this. Me and Brother Bo are bow hunters. We're deer hunters, and we both enjoy it. I mean, we get a lot of pleasure out of deer hunting. And I was talking to Brother Bo one day, and we were out doing some hunting together, and I said, hey, you know what, this Saturday, Saturday looks like the weather's going to be good. There's a cold front coming in, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're in bow season. Hey, what do you think about going this Saturday? He didn't make a big deal about it, but he just said, Brother Jerry, he said, I just made a decision several years ago that I just don't hunt on Saturdays. He said, let me tell you why. He said, I got a bus route. I like hunting so much that I'm afraid to get out there in the stand and not want to come back in. And he said, I just decided I'm not going to fight that battle. And by the way, would it have been a sin for him to go bow hunting on Saturday? I hope not, because I've been sinning a lot. Thank you very much. Would have been a sin. Would have been a sin for him to preach. You know what? But that's just something he said. You know what? And by the way, he goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sundays. No. But Saturday's sacred. He missed Sunday. No. So he just said, you know what? He just said, I'm just not going to let it interfere. I've taken that day and I've given it to the Lord for visitation. And you know what that is? Folks, that's not a sin, but that's just something that he said. Listen, if I'm going to do what God's called me to do, there's something here that I'm not going to let interfere, no matter how much I love it, no matter how much I enjoy it, and even though there's nothing wrong with it. See, folks, it's just not about, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. Hey, let me ask you something. Is it filled up your life to the point where you don't have time to run the race? Those are weights. If they're weighting you down and keeping you from running the race, set them aside. Set them aside. I don't know what it is for you, but sometimes we've about hobbied ourselves to death. I'm all for folks having hobbies, and I'm all for folks having distractions, diversions, but let me tell you something. When we begin to live for the pleasures of this world, get caught up in that, they choke out what God wants to do in our life. Amen. What about, now watch this. What about that sin that does so easily beset you? Every single person I believe in the world has a one sin that is the sin that will keep them from finishing the race if they don't overcome it. It'll take them out of the race if they don't overcome it. You know, for a lot of Christians, you know, this may or may not surprise you. I think one of the biggest ones is pride. I think that there's a lot of people that cannot and never will be used the capacity God wants to use them, because you know what? They are so stinking proud that they cannot buckle under and listen and serve in a local New Testament church. It's their way or the highway. They're too proud to take orders. They're too proud to submit. And it's because of that God's never really ever going to use them. They're never going to finish the race that God wanted them to run. I think a lot of it is sins of the flesh. I really do. I talked to a guy me and you went to school with. And he's out of the ministry. He's on the sideline. He's not running the race God created him to run. I'm convinced of that. I know he's not running the race God. You say you're judging. I know he's not running the race that God wanted him to run. I was talking to him on the phone a while back. And I said his name and I said, what's going on? I said, man, he said, I've never shared this with my wife, never shared this with my family, never shared this with my kid, and I won't share it with you tonight, but he shared something with me that I couldn't believe. He said, Brother Jerry, that one sin right there has kept me from doing what God wants me to do. Let me ask you something. What's knocking you out of the race? What's keeping you from running the race? What's going to sideline you one of these days? Well, it's going to be so-and-so, or it's going to be this person, or it's going to be this circumstance. I don't believe that for a minute. I think a lot of times we've got this little pet sin, and we take it out, and we pet it, and we cuddle it, and we feed it, and we protect it, and we won't give it up, and it's going to one of these days derail us if we don't get it right. You know why it's so quiet in here? Because the Holy Spirit's putting his finger right on something right now, folks, and you better deal with it.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
Yes, it does hurt. It will keep you from finishing the race. Now, folks, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And every single day, folks, you know what we ought to say? We're gonna get up and we're going to run the race. We're getting back on. We're going to run with patience. You know, a lot of times we get out of the race because we don't have the patience to run at the speed that God wants us to run. We Christians are pretty bad about getting ahead of God sometimes. Yes, we are. We are. Am I the only one that has trouble with patience? I want to get ahead of God. Boy, there's so much to do. And sometimes God just says, I've got this thing. I'm working this thing. I've got this thing going. You listen to me. You stay with me. You let me set the pace in your life. You let the Holy Spirit set the pace in your life. And young people, listen, it's always going to seem like it's too slow. You know why? Because you're young. Boy, the devil's got the victory in a lot of young people's life because they want to run ahead of God and rush ahead of the timetable that God's got you on. He's got you on a race, and you got to learn to run with patience. And listen, don't run ahead. You know, this idea of taking shortcuts. Let me just take a little sidebar here. We need to stop this idea of taking shortcuts. Shortcuts don't work in a Christian life. Everybody's only trying to figure out how to get ahead of the pack. You just stay right in the pack. If there's a secret, I mean it. If there's a secret that I think have worked with our children is we have not spent our lives trying to figure out how to get our children ahead of everybody else. We've just taught them to be good, steady runners. And every time I see somebody get cute and decide they're going to get ahead, you just give it. And by the way, at first it looks good. You ever watched a race? You ever watched it? You get this guy that just wants to lead for a while. So it's a 2-mile race, but he decides he's going to do the first half in a sprint. Boy, that's pretty impressive when he's out there about 200 yards ahead. There's a fly up here. The devil sent this evening. I'm going to send it back to where it came from if I can catch it. So. Boy, for about a half mile, everybody, wow, look at that guy, wow, look. I watch young people do this. Always trying to figure out how to get ahead, how to look a little better. Than everybody. You know what? Just get in the pack and grind it out. And I guarantee you stay with the pack and you grind it out. And you know what? That guy that took off running so far ahead, it won't be long. You pass him. Everybody's in such a hurry to grow up. Such a hurry to do the next thing that they can't enjoy the thing that they're on. Can't wait to be 15, so you're a miserable 14-year-old. Guess what you're going to be when you're 15? A miserable 15-year-old that can't wait till they're 16. Why don't you just enjoy where you're at? Roger, how old do you want to be? I want to be 43. You know why? Because that's what I am. I don't want to go backwards, heaven forbid. I don't want to go forward very fast. I just want to live where I'm at. I want to grind it out. I want to get up and say, what has God got for me today? And I want to do it. Amen. See, and by the way, can I just put a little commercial in here? You know, I'm 43. I'm not 66. Don't come to me and say, well, your dad wouldn't have. But your dad, well, folks, I'm just trying to be the best 43-year-old preacher. You know, when I get to be 66, I'll be a little better at it. Just be patient with me. I'll just be the best I can be for God. I'm going to run the race that's set before me. I'm going to do the best I can do. I want to serve God. I want to finish the course God set me to finish. And if every day, folks, you just get up and do what God's given you to do and do it to the best of your ability, you can sleep real good at night. You can sleep real good at night. Let me finish up. Boy, this is the most important point. We're out of here. Number 4, there's a characteristic, a secret to longevity, an attribute to those that finish the race. And of course, that's found in verse number 2. Their eyes. We talked about their ears hearing the cheers of those that have finished before them. Their hands willing to lay aside weights and overcome besetting sins. Their legs trained to run with patience. But their eyes are disciplined to stay steadfastly on the Savior. Now you better keep your eyes on Jesus. Every single person that's got to the finish line, every single Paul that's been able to say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Let me tell you one of the great secrets of their life. They kept their eyes on Jesus.
You want to get messed up, you start looking at men. You start following men. You start listening to men. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes right on Him. Let me finish with this illustration. I took driver's ed a lot of years ago. Me and two other guys was in a car with Marcia Sluter. Heaven help me. How many of you know Marcia Sluter? Well, let me tell you something. When she was 16, she could not drive. When she was 17, she could not drive. She's 18. I don't know how old she is now, but I don't imagine she can drive. She scared us to death. Of course, us three boys were in the back seat. We were being helpful. You had three 15-year-old boys in the back seat of the car, and all they do is encourage and bless and edify, quote scripture, you know, do whatever we can. There was several times we were talking about the valley of the shadow of death, you know. Marcia had a problem when she was driving down the road. One of the problems was is that whenever we would come to another car, whenever there was a car meeting us, about 50 yards from the car, she would decide that the road wasn't big enough for both vehicles. And so every time a car would come, we'd start bracing ourselves. Oh no, here it comes. Oh no, I think she's going for the ditch again. And sure enough, as soon as that car get about 50 yards, she'd just go, ah, right over the ditch. The instructor slam on the brakes, ah, we're like, ah. You know, we're just being a help, just being a blessing. Another thing she had a problem doing was keeping it between the lines. She'd be over here for a while, and then she'd see if she was going, she'd jerk it over, she'd be in a ditch, and she'd be going over. Of course, we're going, yeah, 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 you know. We're just being a help, just being a blessing to her, you know. You know. The driving instructor was getting so frustrated, he finally slammed on the brakes and pulled it over, and he said, listen to me. You need to keep it between the lines. I'm trying, she said. And this is how she'd drive like this, and she'd be looking at the front of the car, and she'd look at the yellow line, and she'd get over, and she'd look over, and she'd get over, and she'd look at that line, she'd get over, and she'd look at that line, and we're like, ah, you know. Now, I'll never forget the driving instructor, this is what he said. He said, Marcia, you know what you're doing? He said, you're looking right in front of the car, you're looking right at the lines in front of the car. He said, I want you to do something. When we get back on the road here in a minute, he said, I want you to pick a point on the far horizon. As far down the road as you can see, and I want you to look down there. I want you to forget about what's right in front of the car. I want you to just look at the spot where the road disappears right at the horizon. And I want you to look at that one spot. And he said, don't worry about where you are. Just look at that one spot and just steer towards that spot. And I thought, this ain't going to work. But sure enough, she pulled that back out on that road and took off down that road. And all of a sudden, we're like, wow, look. We're in our lane. This is great. Yeah. We might live. We've got a chance. Now listen to me, folks. That is the number one problem with Christians today. Most of you are driving your car and you're going, ah, ah, ah. You know what? There's something you ought to be looking at. There's something you ought to be looking at. And folks, if all of us will just keep our eyes on Jesus, you know what you'll find out? It's pretty easy to keep that old car right on the road and keep right between the lines where you're supposed to be as a Christian. Because if you stay right with your eyeball on Jesus, you know what? He'll keep you between the lines. He'll keep you where you're supposed to be going. Now, folks, those are secrets of longevity. I want for every teenager in this room. I mean this. If God tarries, how old are you, Keith? How old are you? 16. 50 years from now, you'll be 66 years old. You know what? You ought to be faithful in church, serving God, running your race. You're going to be this thing for the long haul. That'll be the testimony of every young person in this room. These are secrets. These are attributes. These are characteristics that you're going to have to put in your heart and you're going to have to sell out to in order to be in it for the long haul. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful.
Lord, we want to be faithful now. We want to be faithful in a year. We want to be faithful in 10 years. We want to be faithful to the rest of our life. And I think that's the heartbeat of every Christian. I mean, folks that come to church on a Sunday night, that take of their time to be in church on a Sunday night, Lord, there's something in their hearts. They want to be faithful. But Lord, there's been a lot of people, and many times Christians a lot better than us, that at some point dropped out of the race. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to learn the lessons we need to learn from your word, so that, Lord, we won't become a future casualty. Now, God, help us to just do it. Boy, I tell you what, if there's ever been a time in the history of mankind where Christians need to stand up, step up, and be faithful, it's right now. God, we need all hands on deck. We need everybody doing what you've called them to do. So I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be guilty of being a quitter. Lord, we'd want to serve you for the rest of our life, with our full abilities for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.